Welcome back to the Rusha Speaks podcast. Today we are on episode 5, and in today's episode we are talking all about love and relationships, specifically why we can't feel loved in a relationship. Now this is something I have personally struggled with a lot when it comes to receiving love and feeling that love, and the fear and doubt and insecurity that comes with not really knowing or feeling like you can have your emotional needs met. So if you are ready to open your heart, love more deeply than ever before, and to receive, I hope this process brings you relief. So first, let's talk about feeling and receiving love. Now, when it comes to this emotional wound, it's most often because we feel defective. You know, sometimes our emotional needs feel like an unending black hole, threatening to devour everything in its keep. But at the same time, that's not necessarily true. When it comes to conscious relationships, there are so many questions that arise. Sometimes, in our willingness to work on ourselves and grow self-awareness, we take responsibility for more than we should. Other times, when sucked deep into our trauma, we react from irrational places that don't make any sense. So, how do we know if we're reacting from emotional trauma? Or what if we are simply reasonably asking for our emotional needs to be met? How do you tell the difference? When you can't feel loved in a relationship, it's because no matter what your partner does, you have a block to receiving. This can sound confusing. Well, what does that mean? A block to receiving can show up in many ways, but the most obvious one is through the need to control. So let's explore that. Why do we feel the need to control? When it comes to our emotional needs and desires, we feel the need to control, often because of the fear that those needs will not be met. Emotional fears run deep, and our emotional needs represent our deepest, most fulfilling wishes. For example, if your deepest emotional need is attention and quality time, the moment that need feels threatened, an emotional reaction will be fueled. This is when we resort to manipulation tactics, threatening to end the relationship, accusing our partner of not caring, assuming they will never spend time with us, in order to get our needs met. If these tactics do not work, then we are left with our sense of powerlessness and fear that our needs will never be met. I want you to imagine a little baby. In order to get its needs met, it will scream and cry because the baby is unable to feed itself and care for itself. When it comes to emotional trauma, in similar ways, we feel unable to meet that need for ourselves, and because we feel powerless to do it, we scream and cry for that attention. If our cries for help are not heard, then we move even more deeply into that sense of powerlessness. Relationships can be complicated. What if it's the perfect relationship in so many ways, except for that one very important need that keeps being overlooked? Then what do you do? Is it the most self-loving and self-respecting choice to walk away? Or is that self-destructive and self-sabotaging because this relationship is genuine and worth waiting for? Conscious relationships can get confusing and messy, especially when we're the type of person who is self-reflective, self-aware, and always striving to work on ourselves. It can be difficult to really tell the difference between gauging if it's an emotional trauma or if it's something that we need to work together with our partner to mend in our relationship. At the end of the day, addressing the root cause of our own personal emotional fears will go a long way, not only in helping our relationships and others, but especially and primarily in helping our relationship with ourselves. We can always choose to walk away from the relationship, but we will carry those emotional wounds with us. This is why this work is so important. If feeling unsure about what path to take, my advice would be to explore those emotional wounds. to reflect on them as part of your own deeply personal process, then decide what you would like to do. You may be surprised by the new you that surfaces, the new you that you discover once you move deeply out of lack and fear. Perhaps this relationship is providing an opportunity for you to heal some of your deepest emotional wounds, and that requires trust, patience, and persistence, especially when it comes to those places that we don't want to go. Those wounds, those sensitivities, those aching spots that we do not want to touch. But this is where the most profound change happens. Can you learn to trust that your needs will be met? Can you learn to trust that you are worthy, so worthy of the things that you so deeply desire? I want you to ask yourself these questions. What am I so afraid of? Why am I so scared that these needs will not be met? Think back to any time in your life when you felt the same way. What was happening? Who were you interacting with? How did you feel? Look for patterns in your emotional reactions. Can you find the trigger? For example, if your emotional need is quality time, and there is an intense fear around this because of the fear that you will not be able to receive that need being met, the emotional trigger will be a heightened sensitivity to the perceived lack of attention from your partner. So if your need is receiving attention and quality time and that fear is wrapped around it, you will feel extra sensitive to any perceived slight of this need not being met. In other words, you will feel extremely threatened and hurt anytime you feel like that need might not be met, whether it's through missed calls or your partner being unresponsive to texts or not being able to show up, even if it's for a very valid reason, like a medical reason, for example. Oftentimes, these fears can be extremely irrational. Emotional wounds can be highly volatile and irrational. And it's so important in these moments not to fall into a spiral of self-judgment and judging yourself or harshly punishing yourself internally for feeling the way that you feel. It's so important to understand that when these wounds are threatened, you literally cannot see outside of that wounding. In your mind, there's a red alarm bell going off about this fear of feeling like that need will not be met, and you literally cannot see outside of it. So any logical sense of thinking is not going to have space to enter into your mind. So all you will be seeing are that your calls aren't being answered, that your texts aren't being responded to, that this person isn't showing up, because in that moment, that's all you know, that's all the information that you have. You don't know that this person might be busy. You don't know that this person might be at work. You don't know that this person might have some medical issue or some external issue going on that is literally outside of their hands, to the point where they cannot show up for you in that moment, not because they don't want to, but because there is another external circumstance or force that is preventing them doing so. But in that moment, because you're so locked up in your wound, all you can see is the evidence of the fact that this need is not going to be met, and these are the reasons why they're not going to be met. And oftentimes, this is a story that we keep on a loop, that we keep telling ourselves. So for example, if they're not texting me back right away or within an hour or a certain amount of time, it's because I'm not lovable, I'm not desirable, it's because they don't care about me, it's because they are just lying to me, it's because they don't really want to be with me. And none of this makes sense if you look at the actions of the person. If they are dedicated to this relationship with you, if they're trying to make things work, if they're putting an effort into speaking your love language, none of those things make sense. But in that moment, that story is so strong that it just takes over and it keeps going on a loop. And the reason, the ironic reason that we do this is because it's some kind of fear mechanism where we feel like if we can have control over the fear, if we can control the fear, then we can master it. And controlling the fear involves being able to catch it before it manifests and being able to say, see, I told you this was true. This story was true. And it's coming from that hurt and scared part of yourself that needs to feel in control all the time. And this is where our woundedness and our inner division comes into play. And this inner division is what causes that conflict in the first place. This is the part of us that feels like they always need to patrol everything that's going on in our lives because of the need, because of the fear that you will be proved right. that the scared part of you will be proved right, and the part of you that wants to open up to love will be proved wrong. And this is where most of the conflict in your life will stem from, that inner division that we carry inside of ourselves, those part of ourselves that are in constant battle, the part of us that feels wounded and rejected and all alone, and the part of us that really wants to open up to this love and receive this love and is trusting and really wants it to come. So what do we do then? Well, this is where we have to make a choice. We have to make a choice between deciding, is it more important to that scared part of ourselves to be right? Or is it more important to us to grow? This is not an easy process. I know it definitely sounds easier said than done, but it truly involves being able to put aside your pride and ego. And this doesn't mean that you don't have standards. It doesn't mean that you don't stand up for yourself. It doesn't mean that you don't exercise self-respect and self-love. But it just means that you have to be willing to take a look at the behaviors that exist inside of you that maybe once you adopted them because it felt empowering to you at the moment. But maybe taking a look at them and realizing and understanding, are these helping me anymore? Are these walls that I set up to protect myself now just blocking out the very person who truly, genuinely wants to love me in the first place? And this could be because of a result of the strings of times, the moments of times where we felt like people didn't show up for us, where we felt like that love wasn't there for us to receive. And it's that scared part of us that just doesn't trust anymore. Emotional needs run deep. We often require these needs to be met just as much as we need to eat. And this is why there can be so much fear wrapped around them. On a deeper level, we literally fear that if we do not get what we need, we will starve emotionally and die. Irrational? Yes. But is it true? To our fear-based mind? Absolutely. So let's go deeper. We know logically that if someone is not meeting our emotional needs, we will continue to survive. It simply feels like we will die. In this space, retraining this wound and this fear to work with us rather than against us will go a very long way. We do this by getting to the root. The root of this fear is the sense of powerlessness that overcomes us because of the belief that if this person isn't meeting my needs in this moment, right now, those needs will never be met. On an even deeper level is the belief that if these needs will never be met, I will emotionally starve and die. I will never get the love and nurturing that I need. Does it make sense? Is it logical? No. But is it real? Absolutely. Is that fear, is that pain real? Absolutely. So now let's get to the part of healing and transforming the pain. What can we do now that we've brought our awareness to this, now that we've explored and self-reflected, which is, you know, a form of self-respecting, what can we do to move past this? Now, the first thing is extremely powerful. It's creating an emotional sanctuary. This is creating that safe space for yourself so that you can soothe that scared part of you just like you would soothe a sweet and innocent child. Nurture yourself, hold yourself, speak kindly and softly to yourself. Don't judge yourself harshly. If that emotional need is for attention, quality time, and nurturing in that moment, give that experience to yourself as much as you possibly can. You can do this by being fully present with yourself, your wounds, your fears, noticing them, not needing to change them or push them down or suppress them, but simply being with them. Tend to them with love and care. Wrap yourself in a blanket. Take deep breaths. Create that safe space and that emotional sanctuary for yourself. This is immediately going to pull you out of that danger zone. The next thing is to speak to that scared part of yourself. This is the part of you that feels like they will never have enough and their needs will never be met. Gently start to shift those beliefs. Instead of looking for evidence of lack of love, look for signs that the world is filled with love. Train your eye to see opportunity more than lack. If that doesn't feel possible for you, then simply meet yourself where you are. Healing is a process and there is no need to rush. Everything truly does happen in perfect timing. And the last thing is to shift your beliefs around love, deserving, and worthiness. Now, Byron Katie has an absolutely amazing process for this, so you can go and Google and search that process. It's something that I have personally used and have found to be truly helpful. But finally, it's important to realize that you were never defective. You are not defective. You simply never believed that you were worthy of receiving the love you so deeply desire. Deep down, you felt that if you could not get that love early on, then it was your fault. It was because you didn't deserve it. In your childlike mind, you couldn't understand the complexity of the other factors that come in, like adult lives, responsibilities, obligations. Children don't think of love languages. They simply see that they have a need. That need is not being met in the way that they need. Therefore, it must be their fault. Either way, they feel that they don't deserve love, they are not worthy of it, or they simply cannot have it. Understanding that there's a part of our mind that works this way can really go a long way because it allows us to retrain those parts of our minds to shift those conclusions that we made early on that are not necessarily true. So I hope that this finds you well. I hope that this gave you so much to think about and work with today when it comes to healing this emotional wound, because this truly is one of the things that stops us from receiving the love that we need. Thank you so much for tuning in. You can find more of me on www.rusha.com. This is the Rusha Speaks podcast. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at Rusha Speaks, YouTube, Rusha. And I will see you, talk to you next time.